I just bought my all-time dream car, the 2024 GT3 RS. But there's one problem. Or two. Possibly three. Possibly a lot of problems. The 992 GT3 RS is the daddy of all Porsches.
What have they done here?
More aero than the GT3. More power than the GT3 and more carbon than the GT3. But if you want to buy one of these, you've got to be on a special list from Porsche.
We bought like a ridiculous amount of cars to even be sort of put on the list, really.
So when these people who are on the list who could buy the GT3 RS come to sell them as a used car, they could sell them for way higher than the list price.
That's a lot of money. For just two letters.
But let's say the previous owner bought one brand new and on the way home had a small accident in it. That might be an opportunity to get one way under list price. The GT3 RS is next. Here we go.
Here we go. You're winning.
I'm winning. No. No way. No, no, no.
It's cheap. It's cheap. It's cheap. Come on.
Yes! I just bought myself a 992 GT3 RS, which had been not only crashed, but fully submerged underwater. Problem was, this car was crashed in Washington, in the US, and we're in the UK. So I had the car sent to Florida to my good friend Tavarish's, and then we'd fly over and plan to rebuild it there. We're back in Florida. Let's go see this car.
Okay, so apparently Matt's car just got here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So from this side, it doesn't look too bad. And then go over to this side, and it's bad.
The best thing about this is that we've only seen the car in videos and photos. So this is literally going to be the first time that we've ever seen it.
I didn't see this part. Just got Hulk smashed. That is nuts.
Are you looking forward to seeing the car?
Yeah, seeing it's not going to be a problem, is it?
That is completely unfixable. Wow. That, oh my goodness. I mean, this is parts at best.
So even Freddy, who's rebuilt many crash-damaged cars, is starting to doubt that this Porsche can even be rebuilt. But nevertheless, they got it off the trailer and pushed it inside, ready for me to collect. Here we go! Here it is. This is what I've spent a hell of a lot of money on, and we're hoping we can rebuild it.
Are you ready?
Ready. You've seen pictures, haven't you? I haven't.
You've not seen any photos of this?
I've seen it in the water.
This is
but
bad.
That's all I've seen.
Look at the size of the wing. Oh, look. There's your Porsche that you rebuilt in this unit.
Yes.
And now we got this.
I'm dreading this.
I'm dreading it. I don't know which side I want to see first.
Not bad.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Look at that.
Oh my god. Is that side bad? Oh god. Wow.
So here it is. The GT3 RS. And it's kind of eerie to think this thing was fully submerged underwater. Never mind how damaged it is.
Oh my, do you think the engine survived?
From here, I can't see anything that hasn't broken.
Where do we even start? There's not even a good panel on it. Oh my god, look at the front top. Oh, this is well bad. How's the bonnet? Gone.
That's all broke there.
Oh my days. How has it ended up like that? And look at the strut brace. So that's fully been pushed in.
What do you think?
This
is so bad.
This is beaters.
Is this wet? Hey, it seems quite dry.
How long ago was it since it's been in the water?
It's got to have been like March time.
You know what? No. There's no corrosion on the air strap.
Yeah, does it? You wouldn't know it'd been underwater. Even all this, look. You wouldn't know it's been underwater, would you?
I guess the positive we can take from it is that this car went under fresh water. And unlike salt water, it doesn't just start to corrode everything it touches. It went straight into a river. How long for? We have no idea. And how? We have no idea.
At what point does it stop being a car and it's parts? These wings, I had a look before we come here. £15,000 a wing.
Just for that?
Just for the
does
wing.
Does it include this?
Well, you better put that
don't
down.
Know. This wing actually looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not damage it.
Most of the panels on this car are made out of carbon fibre, which makes them lighter, but also a hell of a lot more expensive.
Look, the passenger is lucky to be alive. Look at this. Look how much...
Do you think there was a passenger? It's still got all the stickers from new on the plate, on the foot pedals.
That's because this car was pretty much brand new when it crashed into the river. You can see from the temporary tag on the back. Rumour has it was driving back from the dealership.
The way you start, save the good bits. Shouldn't take too long.
But nevertheless, this is what I've bought. Probably one of the worst cars I ever have. And now we've got to work out whether it can actually even be repaired. And I think it's a good place to start.
We want to know whether this engine's any good, but we can't find that out because we don't have a key. This car's got completely soaked, so it's likely that there's water in everything. So it wouldn't be a good idea to try and start it anyway. But Copot said that it didn't have a key, it doesn't come with a key. Which, I mean, it could be true, it could be false, but there could be some likeliness that the key is somewhere in that mess in there. So I think the first step is to try and have a search party, look for a key. But before we even get onto that, I want to preserve this wing, because if we open this bonnet up, it damages this wing. And this seems like the only good thing on the car. And this door as well. This door seems pretty good, and it's full carbon fiber, so...
Let's get this bonnet off. Before it causes any more damage. I don't want to throw this away, because there might be a small chance that it actually could be repaired. The bonnet on a GT3 was £12,000. So on an RS, I dread to even think what it costs.
Look at that.
This is going to go on your wall.
Yeah, this is really light though. What would happen if we put a jumper pack on that battery?
I have no idea. I mean, we could try it.
That's what, because that...
Like, electrical fire is one, but like, it's...
So, fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
Battery... Because I think if the key is in here, mm-hmm. and that battery pack does power something and the dash works, the ignition would come on because the key's in the car.
Yeah. But if it's been underwater...
Then nothing might work.
Then, yeah, it might just... I mean, it might just pop fuses. Porsche does make good cars, so I don't know.
Yeah. I can't see any key. It could still be in the water, but I think the interesting thing would be to put power to that battery and see if anything happens, because if it does, it's quite positive if it does. The best thing about this is that we can't make it worse.
That's exactly what I said with my P1. That's exactly what I
said. So here goes nothing. But before we put power to the battery, we wanted to just get rid of the broken glass on this door. Just again to stop any more damage happening. And this thing just lifted out. And once that's done, we can now get the jumper pack out. See what happens.
See if anything does anything.
Is this going to cause a fire and short out? Or is something going to work?
I've never rebuilt a flood damaged car. So I have no idea where to start.
Oh, we got light. Oh my god, the lights come on! It's flashing! What's that mean?
I've never seen it flash.
Why is it doing that? If it come on in here. Oh, interior light's on! Ready? Oh.
But nothing. It was completely dead.
No ticking or noise on the dash.
Well, does that mean the key's not in the car?
Yeah, but if the key wasn't in the car, it'd tell you no key. It would go brum.
So it's the fact the ignition isn't working at all?
Yeah, so there's nothing here. There's some kind of problem here, but that could be a fuse, or this could be completely gone because it's soaking.
Might be one of the main fuses. The 50 amp ones or something like that that's blown.
And that would just cut all the power to the whole car?
Well, it might be more than one, let's both.
So we started to check all the fuses that we could see in the car in attempt to try and get the instrument cluster to work. That way it would tell us whether the key was in the car or not. And there were a few fuses broken, but it didn't matter how many fuses we changed, it still didn't seem to make any difference. So the main fuses for the car, the big ones, the bad boy ones, are right underneath the dashboard with the pyro fuse. Like literally all the way behind it, in a box behind there. That means the whole dash has got to come out to get to them. And then we won't know whether anything works until you put it all back together, which is a bit silly. It's quite a difficult one really, because we may need to ring Porsche to try and find it, see if we can actually get a key for the car, because that could be a problem in itself. And then will they give us a key if they can't code it to the car because the ignition doesn't come on? Well, nothing works. As I've found out from doing the GT3, the main fuses are right behind the dashboard, and you've got to remove everything to get to them. And if some of these are blown, then we wouldn't have power to anything else in the car. We've been fairly unsuccessful there, but as we thought, most of the electrics on this are completely got a mind of their own at the minute. So we're kind of like at a loose end really until we get the dash out. And then when we get the dash out, we can see the main fuses and check them as well. That would really help. But I think kind of the next step really we've got to move on, and what we haven't seen is the underneath of the car, because I saw a photo of this beached on the rocks. So the whole underneath of the car could be gone. The gearbox could be gone. The bottom of the engine could be gone. Then we're working with literally nothing then really. Like we've not even got a good shell. At the minute we've got one good wing, two good doors-ish. And if the engine is battered to pieces when we see underneath, then it's really not looking good for me. Let's get inside.
Now despite how badly damaged this car is, we've heard that the driver actually survived the accident. The story is, he actually managed to get out the car before it went into the river. But that's all we know. Now, we're going to send the car up.
Okay, you ready?
To see if there's any more damage underneath the car. If the engine is gone, I don't think it's going to be worth repairing.
Look at that. Wow.
But, so far, so good. Nothing looks obviously damaged.
Nothing serious.
In fact, all of the under trays still look intact. Some of the aero underneath it does look slightly damaged, but it's not as bad as what I thought it was going to be.
So there's some good news, I think.
It's got carbon fiber drop links.
Whoa.
Yeah, boy. Yes. Our main thing here, if we're grasping at anything, is seeing if this engine is any good.
Our first step, then, will be removing the rear diffuser so we can expose the bottom of the engine. And lucky for me, it actually looks okay. Next step is taking off the under trays, which are covering over the gearbox. This is the PDK automatic gearbox, and they're not cheap.
Looking good. Let's get this brace off. So far, it's looking good under here. A true test would be when we unplug one of these and see how much water actually comes out of them. I'll be surprised if there's no water in it, but it can't be. That thing was fully submerged, the roof, everything.
It's actually looking positive under it. Until we remove this strut brace.
Oil. Now, why would oil be coming out unless it's overfilled with water and it's pushing oil out?
Or it's got a crack in the sump.
Oh.
Come down, they split, that's a hole there, isn't it?
Is that plastic?
Yeah. Oh, it has. That's a hole. Oh, Susie. That means that is definitely going to be full of water. So, it uses all the electrics to change gear, and electric and water don't really mix, so maybe that's not very good. Okay. Working our way through this, and we've got a hole in the gearbox sump. So, best case scenario, we drain the oil out of that, we fill it with new oil and everything works. We don't know whether that'll work or not, and there's only one way to find out about that. Right now, we're about to find out how much water is inside the engine. And best way of doing that is draining the sump, and oil is not supposed to mix with water. And there's only supposed to be oil in the bottom of this.
Let's find out.
You can see it already.
Oh no. Oh! Oh, where's the oil?
Give it a second.
Oh my.
Oh, look at that coming out of there.
Oh, my God. It's like cheese. It's like cheese.
Do you know if we take the oil filter off,
yeah,
if it's got water in the oil filter, would it have been running?
Well, you'd think there's just going to be water everywhere, wouldn't you? Mm.
But that was my next step, removing the oil filter from the bottom of the engine.
Some are good.
And yet, it was full of water.
Oh, dear. No.
Now, engine is very bad. Oh, it's a bit of oil! So we've now established that driving a car into water puts water inside the engine. Now, we need to... Well, it's bad. But we're really interested to see how far it's gone. And if the engine was running when this went in, then it could mean the engine is just... it might still be repairable, but... It would have caused a lot more damage than what it would have if it wasn't running. It would be way less damage. So I'm going to take this exhaust off because it just seems well accessible compared to getting a spark plug out. All the exhaust here, and that's going to access me into the cylinder. We should be able to see any valves, if there's any water in the engine there. Because we imagine there's probably going to be a lot of water all sitting in this exhaust as well. So that's my next objective.
Now, having this much water inside the engine isn't a problem as long as we can drain it all out before we attempt to start it back up. The problem is if the water is in it when it was running. If so, some of the water could have got sucked into the cylinder, and when the piston goes up on the compression stroke, it's not going to be able to compress the water, which would then cause a lot of damage, maybe even bending a conrod.
Oh! That was full of water!
Oh, nice.
See the exhaust valves up here, lot? They don't look completely rusty, which is good. Like, that side is open. They don't look completely rusty. Like, not rusty is good. That's what we're looking for. If it's rusty, bad, because as the pistons move up and down the cylinders, if there's rust in there, it's going to score all of the cylinders. And if the cylinders get scored, then it's going to get oil blow past the pistons, which is going to lead to a smoky engine, burning oil. It's not going to be good. But so far, not really any rust on the valves. And that's just on the valves. We need to see inside the cylinder. So really, the spark plugs is all under here. So that takes the spark plug. So I think that's going to be my next step of attack.
We're not in the all clear just yet. Even if the engine wasn't running, but water was in there, it still can cause damage because of the rust. Now, if there's rust which has gone on the back of the valves, that could then cause the valves not to seat properly when they go back into place, which would make the engine lose compression. Another place where it might be rusty as well is inside the cylinder. And if it's rusty inside the cylinder, as I mentioned, if we try and turn over the engine and there's rust in there, then it could scratch up all the inside of the cylinder. And these are machined to perfection. If we scratch it, again, we can lose compression. So now I'm removing the spark plugs. So then hopefully we can put a camera through the spark plug hole to see if there is any rust inside the cylinder.
So when you put the VIN in of this car on Car Vertical, of course you can use it in UK and US, we can actually see that one, this car was damaged, which we know of. Two, it's only done about 30 miles because it was brand new. But three, this car has got a salvage title. Alongside that, we can also see a full timeline of the car, when the car was bought, when the car was crashed, when the car got registered crash, and then when I bought it, which is actually really helpful. And sometimes, when you buy a crash damaged car, it'll actually show you photos of the damage of that car when it was auctioned off at the car crash auction website.
Which is a really handy tool to have when you're going to buy a new car. You can find so much history about it. Now, my dad's got the coil packs out and it's not looking great. They seem to be pretty wet. Once the coil packs are removed, we can then start removing the spark plugs. I'm starting on my side first.
Oh! Oh my God!
Oh no.
Where did that come from?
It's just condensation. I've not even took the spark plug out yet.
That came from the spark plug hole?
Yeah. I don't think this engine's good, dude.
I've not even took it out yet. Here we go.
Oh my god. Well, it's certainly clean.
Oh. How is that in the cylinder?
Matt, is there any part of this car that's good?
I'm beginning to think I've wasted my money.
Only now are you thinking that.
Remember, you could check your car out, or your friend's car, with Car Vertical. And you could do that with the link in the description. And using code Matt, hopefully, it gives you better news than the condensation inside these.
Judging by the look of these spark plugs, it's not looking good for inside the cylinders. You can see how rusty one of the plugs are.
We're going to now put this inside the cylinder. And we should be able to see if there is any rust in the cylinder. Here we go. Big moment.
Here we go.
Here we are.
Oh my god, lakes!
Is there a fish in there?
Oh my god, look, that's a rusty cylinder.
Oh my god, that's submerged. Oh, that's submerged.
Yeah, it's submerged.
Oh no, that is really not good.
All that water's still in there?
Yeah.
Oh look, that is, I'm under the water. Somebody help me.
Well, the good thing is, this car wasn't even broken in.
Yes, so, that's
I think
good.
That broke it in.
But we can't turn that over like that, are we?
No, we're going to have to see if it's on the inside.
If you put some ATF or Marvel Mystery Oil in there and then just let it sit, it'll loosen up some of that. I mean, this engine had no miles on it.
I can even read the number on
that's
the piston.
That's nuts! Look at that!
I can even read the part number on the piston. That's how new it is. Look at that. Oh, what's all that?
So it looks like there is some surface rust on the cylinders. So turning over this engine now is a no-go. We've got to first make sure we get rid of all that water and then find a way of cleaning off the rust. And we still don't know whether there's any bent comrades or damage to it. So first we put an airline down the spark plug hole to blow out any of the water that's in there. Then we're going to have to work out a way of how to clear the rust out. Remember, this is a 6-cylinder engine, 3 cylinders on each side, and it lays flat. So it's going to be tricky.
Our plan now is to drop the engine down, and then we want to actually turn the engine on its side so then we can rest oil or some kind of additives on top of the cylinders, which will hopefully soak through into the pistons and clear all that rust out of that cylinder, and then also then turn the engine over the other way, do the same on the other side, and then we've somehow got to get to the back of all of the pistons so we can soak oil through the back as well, and then that way we hopefully will be able to turn the engine over with all that rust gone without damaging the cylinder. If it is damaged after that, then we're gonna have to take it apart anyway, but we're hoping not. That's our only option. So let's take this engine out and we'll go from there. As for the rest of the car, I honestly have no idea yet. It's we're trying not to think about that. We're trying to save one of the most expensive parts of it, which is the engine. Let's get it out. We've never done this before, and I think we should just start up here. Let's go.
This is ambitious, but we're not giving up yet. If we can save this engine and the gearbox, we might just have a chance. But to even get to the top of the engine, we've got to take off the rear wing and the little ducktail spoiler as well. And even then, it's a struggle to get to. If you are new to the channel and you're enjoying our ambition, now's a great time to subscribe.
Yeah, look at that. That's all for the rear wing system. It runs up in the arms.
Oh my days, that is crazy.
We've had to cut part of the rear bumper off because it was so damaged it wouldn't lift off with removing the bolts.
Look at that. That is from compression going that way and it's kinked the whole chassis.
How are you going to fix that?
That is just bad, isn't it? I literally could have bought nothing at this point.
With the back now being exposed, there was one thing on my mind which got me slightly worried, and that was the engine's ECU. I remember from last time, it's stored just above the engine. And if this thing's got wet, it's not going to be good news. So the first step is to try and remove it. Then we can inspect it.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So this is the ECU, the engine control unit. And normally these are sealed, and they're normally sealed quite well. So, like, if you do get any water on the car, it's normally okay. But they don't really plan on them being fully submerged, and this feels a bit wet. Okay, so we're going to undo this little casing.
You think it's going to be wet inside?
I think some water's going to go in.
Would that mean we need a new one if it has?
Probably.
I bet they're cheap.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh. Is that condensation? Yeah, oh no, that's milky condensation. Oh
no.
Yeah. Stick it in the sun.
Yeah, you'll be alright.
Shower.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know what? I've seen someone clean a toaster in a sink on TikTok and it still works. So it looks like the ECU has got a little wet, but it doesn't look drastic. And it might be savable. So for now we've opened it up. And we're going to pop it outside and leave it in the Florida sun to dry out before we even think of putting power to it. Then it's back on to removing the engine.
We've got to disconnect everything from the engine that's attaching it to the car. We've got coolant, we've got fuel, and we've got electrics.
First off, is the two coolant pipes attached to the engine?
I have undone everything off here, apart from stuff going to the coolant tank here, because that is all smushed up against it, so I can't get to it. So I think if we lower the engine down, then it should be able to disconnect it from there.
Then we've got to loosen off the wheels whilst it's on the ground. And remember how tight these wheels are. They're only held on with one center lock nut, so they've got to be tight. And one wheel actually looks like it survived. As for the other.
How light is that?
That is super light.
Oh my days, feel how light that is.
Yeah, it's half a wheel, of course it's
going to
be
hard. No, but it's still.
This was a magnesium wheel. And you get these wheels when you order the YSAC package with the GT3 RS. It seems the previous owner of this car spec'd it nicely. Unfortunately, it didn't last long for him.
Now, we think to take the engine out, the best thing is to lower it all down with the rear subframe. So these wires are going to stay on the car. So I'm going to disconnect these first. Like this. They can come down. The caliper's going to come down with it, which means we've got to disconnect the brake line as well.
The brakes are actually looking okay. And I'm just disconnecting the brake lines now. Then after that, undoing the bolt, which connects the wheel hub to the shock absorber. Then I'm going underneath the car and undoing the bolts holding the gearbox to the chassis of the car. After that, I've got to disconnect the gear cable, which goes from the gear stick to the gearbox. And some electrical wiring, which goes to the gearbox as well, has got to be disconnected. And now we can concentrate on lowering the engine down, which means loosening off the bolts, which connect the engine mount to the subframe, and the nuts here, which connect the subframe to the chassis of the car. We don't want to unscrew them fully yet, because the engine would just drop on the floor. Then I could put a pallet underneath the car for the engine to sit on, lower the car down, and once the car's down on the floor, we can start fully removing those nuts to lower the subframe down onto the pallet. These GT3 RSs are built for the racetrack, so removing the engine actually isn't too difficult. I imagine so it's easy to service or do any repairs to if it does get damaged on the track.
Yay. Okay. Oh, and we have big damage here to the inlet manifold.
Oh, yeah.
There's a hole in it, which means there could be plastic in there as well.
Oh, great.
We're still trying to look on the positives here. We've still got a bit of a damaged engine, but we're hoping it's not damaged enough for it to break. So, staying on the main goal is trying to survive and resuscitate this engine, which means the pistons need to go up and down freely in that cylinder. That's the main goal. To do that, we need to tip the engine on its side, because now you can see this engine is a bit different. It's called a flat six. So we want to try and turn this engine that way now to upwards. Then we could drop oil down in the cylinder and leave it to rest. But to do that, we need to separate this gearbox from the engine. Then we could turn it that way. So our first step is to get this gearbox away from the engine. We're hoping this is good as well.
So the RS engine is out. This thing looks crazy. Never did I ever expect in my life I'd be working on one of these. Never mind taking the engine out of one. Remember, I've had absolutely zero training on this.
And my dad's never worked on one of these either before. All of this is brand new to us.
Right. Here's our broken inlet manifold. As for the rest, how's it looking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh! Oh! It's full of water! Look what's in there. Look, the valves. They're meant to be dry.
Is that water?
Why is it all orange?
Oh, look, it is water. It's rust.
Oh.
Look, all of that is rust in there.
No. What's that for now?
It's not looking good for the valves. They're covered in water. But now I'm moving over to the other side of the engine to remove that side of the inlet manifold, and we can see what the story is over there. But I imagine it's going to be similar.
Oh, that's so rusty. And do you know, even in this one, down there, look at this one. This one. Oh.
I've now taken off the exhaust from the engine just so I could access the front of it. And whilst I was doing that, my dad was working at getting the gearbox separated from the engine by undoing the bell housing bolts, then undoing the bolts which connect the draw shafts to the gearbox. After that, we can start pulling the gearbox away from the engine. And as expected, seems like a bit of water in there. But we're hoping that by draining the gearbox and just refilling it with oil, we might be okay.
Gearbox is off. Next thing I'm going to take off is this bit of plastic, which I figured out is where it stores all the oil for a car. It doesn't have all the oil in the bottom of a sump like a regular car. It's got a dry sump, so all the oil is stored here, which gives it a better balance, stops it sloshing about and stuff. And it's plastic, so I'm going to take this off. Also, this is probably full of water as well, so last thing we want to do is when we refill the car with oil, when it hopefully runs, is we don't want any water in here. Right.
Oh. Milky. Okay, now we can work on the engine.
We now need to get this engine onto this.
Introducing our unorthodox technique. We're jacking the engine up with help from Rex and Matt, and hopefully we can get it high enough to put some bolts for the engine stand into where usually the gearbox connects to it.
So we've wedged open these butterfly flaps. So we're going to do a full 360 of the engine, and water's hopefully going to fall out this area. And then once we've done that, we're then going to do a 90 degree turn and leave some fluid in the spark plug holes. Oh,
water's coming out. It's coming out. It's
coming out the cylinder. That is a crazy looking engine right there. Oh, look at it. Oh my days.
There it is. Niagara Falls.
Oh my God. There you go. Right, whilst it's upside down, we've got to get to the underneath of the pistons as well. And the only way to do that is try and take this off. We don't actually know if that's going to work, but we're going to take this off and hopefully we can see the crankshaft, but it's hopeful, but we can see.
What we're trying to get to here is the crankshaft. And on a flat six, it's directly in the middle of the engine. If we can get to this, then we'll be able to see the underside of the pistons. So I'm hoping by just taking apart everything that's in the middle of this engine, we might actually be able to see it. Off comes an oil cooler, then a couple oil lines, then I can start unbolting this bottom casing. And finally, lift it out.
We haven't really seen much here. We can just about see the crankshaft through there. But this here, which I think is part of the oil pump because there's a chain on it. If we take this off, this should help. This isn't timed. It's just on a chain.
I'm now undoing the bolt which holds the sprocket and the chain to the oil pump, and I'm hoping that we should be able to get this back on when we reassemble it. My dad's putting some zip ties through the sprocket in the chain to stop it from falling anywhere or moving on the sprocket.
This bit here now is covering over the crank and all the bottom of the comrades and everything, which actually don't look rusty and dry. It's good. It stayed like moist. This thing here, we're not sure what it is. It seems like some kind of cradle, or you might call it a baffle. That's what we probably call it in the sports world, because you get a baffled sump and it's to stop oil starvation on the bottom of the crank, if we're trying to be specific and technical. And I'm going to remove it because I'm excited at removing this because we're going to be able to see so much more of the crank.
Yes.
Yeah. Crank, baby. Look at this. It's a really different... It's really hard to explain because on regular engine, you don't normally have just this. So it'd be like just upwards here. But this is like they've attached another engine to the bottom of the engine. That's why it's called a flat six, because there's six cylinders here, and it is flat, baby.
There's not. There's three cylinders there.
There's three. And it's that makes six. And it's also flat, which is why they call it flat. When you build these engines, this crankcase actually splits apart, which is crazy as well. But we're hoping we don't ever have to do that. We're hoping this is as far we ever have to strip this engine again. And the only way we can save that now is because, look, you can see here, these are the conrods and the pistons right up through down to the cylinders there. So we actually can see the back of the pistons there, which is good news. So we're hoping what we can do overnight is turn the engine this way. So we're going to go 90 degrees that way. Leave the bottom of those pistons soaking in oil, and then the top of the cylinder soaking in oil. Then the other night, we'll flip it over and leave that soaking in oil and that soaking in oil. Then we should have got the top of the piston soaking in oil and the bottom of the piston soaking in oil. We should have seeped through down the cylinders, lifting off the rust, and then hopefully we can turn over the engine without damaging the cylinders. And the way we can find out whether it has damaged the cylinders or not is when we finally put it all back together, turn it over and compression test each cylinder. And if each cylinder is holding the same compression, that means it's good. And if it's not, that means that we've scratched one of the bores going up, which means that we're going to get leak. Is that what it's called, isn't it? Leak, blow by or something, isn't it? Now, we've got where we needed to get to. And to be honest, it's looking okay. All the conrods look straight. So I don't think this engine was running when it went into the water. And nothing looks rusty under here. So it's time to rotate the engine upwards and get as much water out of it as possible. Then I'm using this thing called Marvel Mystery Oil, which should break down the rust and lubricate all the underside of the pistons, which sit inside the cylinders. I'm just using a syringe here to suck it out of the container and then push it down the cylinders. I've done the bottom side, and now I'm pouring it for a spark plug hole, along with some WD-40, which of course is water displacement, and all of this should help ease that rust off. Right, let's leave this overnight, and we'll come back and do the other side. And day two, we've let this soak. Now we've got to suck it all out and spin it over and do the other side. But I think it's actually looking good. It's actually looking really good. It's not looking as rusty anymore, but we will see. So before we turn it over, I'm pumping out all of the excess fluid that we pumped in the day before. And once we've got out as much as possible, me and my dad can then rotate the engine back the other way round. And then our attention is paid to the other three cylinders, doing the exact same thing as we did on the other side, pouring some of the oil through the spark plug hole to sit on top of the piston, and then pouring it into the crank casing to sit on the bottom. Hopefully this works. Now, all of the fluid is in the top side of this bit of the engine and the bottom side of that bit of the engine. So hopefully tomorrow, we'll then be able to find out whether that's cleared all the rust out and we'll be able to turn it over. So we can find out then whether we've got a half decent engine, but that doesn't solve that issue. So this 992 GT3 RS cost me $130,000 for this. And we're struggling to find one good part of it at the minute, hoping that engine and the gearbox is going to be okay. So it kind of leaves us with a few options. Option number one, which I thought was going to be the best option, was completely diminish this shell and get a whole new shell because there's damage to the back, the inner structure, the outer structure, the front tub, the roof, the A-pillars. There's damage everywhere. So if we can get a whole new shell and reshell it, I thought that was going to be the best option. And then that way, we're working with everything back from scratch. The problem is I contacted Porsche in the US. They wouldn't sell me a shell because they make too much of the cars in a complete form to take a shell off the production line to sell me one. So then it left me with contacting Porsche in the UK, and it was a similar sort of story there. They wouldn't sell me a shell because they're only making 2025 shells, and this is a 2024 car, so they can't sell me a 2025 shell for a person that's got a 2024 car, because I'll be then essentially buying a newer car. So it only leaves us with one other option, and that is to try and find a secondhand shell or attempt to fix this, which is ambitious to say the least. And I guess this all depends on as well whether that engine and that gearbox is any good, because right now we could have just spent £130,000 on something which is just ready for the bin. But let me know if you guys think it's worth it. Thanks so much for watching this video. If you enjoyed it, hit the subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button, and I'll see you in the next video.
What are you doing, Tony?
Don't know.